next phase of study of things to come. But right now, let's look at Revelation 19, verse 19 and 20. This is the end of the Antichrist. He will be on the scene during the tribulation period, up to the end of it. In Revelation 19, look at verse 19. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet." Now this is the end of the tribulation period. The Antichrist has gathered his armies there around Jerusalem, and he is fighting, and Christ comes down with his army. And he says, "The beast was taken, with him the false prophet." This is the guy that came on the scene that imitates the Holy Spirit, makes fire come down from heaven, tells everybody to worship this Antichrist, "that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive." Now notice this. This individual, the Antichrist and the false prophet, are cast alive here into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So at the end of the tribulation period, there's one final battle and Christ fights it with his army from heaven. He catches the beast, which is the Antichrist, the culmination of all these empires and evil against God, and takes him and the false prophet who promoted him in this world and throws him alive in the lake of fire there, which is reserved for him. Any questions on that? This is the end of the tribulation period. Okay, look over at Revelation 20. Look at verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7 through 10. Now, in between that time that he's cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, there's going to be 1,000 years. Now, this is the millennial reign of Christ that you hear so much about. Unfortunately, there are a number of Christian churches, so-called, that do not teach that Christ will have 1,000-year reign on this earth. I don't know why they say that. There's no way in the world. If you look up at verse 4, it's talking here about the people who didn't worship the beast, neither his image, and neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, I don't know how much plainer you can get. If you check the Greek, that's exactly what it says. So during that 1,000-year reign, Christ is going to be ruling and reigning. He's going to have his saints ruling and reigning. That's going to be part of your reward. You're going to be part of this group of people who are ruling and reigning on the earth for 1,000 years with Christ. I don't know how much simpler it can get. It says that. Now, at the end of the 1,000 years, look at verse 7. "When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." So 1,000 years after he's put in there, he's still alive. God lets him come back out of that abyss where he's been chained and back on the face of the earth. You say, why in the world, with 1,000 years of peace, 1,000 years of prosperity, and the earth turned back into the Garden of Eden, and everything going so wonderful, Christ ruling from Jerusalem, why would he let Satan back out again to deceive the world? Because, look at verse 8, "And shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth," all around the whole earth is going to be involved in this. "Gog and Magog." Now, this is not the same Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38. Gog and Magog are terms that mean the people and the prince, the leader of the people. Now, this Gog and Magog here, "to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." This goes to show you that so many people blame environment on how bad they are when they get grown and how they behave. So many people blame their environment. Let me tell you right now, this proves that that is not the controlling factor. I don't care how you were raised or anything else. I had a dysfunctional home, and I was an angry young man for a number of years till I became a Christian. But I made a choice one day to get rid of that anger and get rid of that animosity that I had toward people and the world because of my upbringing. And when I saw the gospel message, I chose it. And I got rid of that out of my life with a wonderful wife to help me. Believe me, she deserves a medal for living with me till I became a Christian. She really does. But this proves right here that during this millennial reign of Christ, everything is perfect on the earth. That during that reign, there are going to be people born on this earth. Many of them, we don't know how many, but there's going to be many of them. And at the end of that time, when Satan is turned loose, these people are given lip service to the rule and reign of Christ and His saints. They really hate Him. In their heart, they hate Him. And this proves it. Satan gets up, starts going around again, doing his thing. And it says here that they are gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Now, out of all the people on the earth at that time, there's going to be a huge number. When they get the opportunity and Satan comes up and says, follow me. You know, we're going to rebel against God. I know you're tired of this rulership and all of this. It's perfect, but you know, we can have something better. Satan's always trying to dangle something a little bit better, everybody thinks. And he gets a huge number of people to follow him at the end of a 1,000-year reign, which they've had it perfect on this earth. Look at verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. Jerusalem, even after 1,000 years, is still back the focal point. It was the focal point during the tribulation. Now it's going to be the focal point again at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. The beloved city, fire came down from God out of heaven, devoured them. God takes care of that rebellion one more time again. Man always seems to want something different than what God has got for him. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the beast, and the false prophet, here Satan is cast in there with his other two buddies, the Antichrist, the false prophet, are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now that's the end of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And it says they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, I've had people tell me that I just don't believe a good God would do that. I don't believe He would torture somebody forever and ever and day and night. I said, well, let's put it this way. This is what He says He's going to do, and I believe every word of it, so you better take what He says as literal. So many people don't believe this right now to this day. And claim to be Christians, claim to study their Bibles. Well, they need to read a little bit closer. Because this is what God says. That will be the end of it. Now, then after that, it's going to be a new heaven, a new earth created. And that's another lesson. Does anybody have any questions on this, on the end of the Antichrist and his two cohorts? Anybody? Chris? Does Satan know what's going to finally happen to him? Sure. He was there when these words were penned. He knows his end is coming. That's one reason he worked so hard, because he realizes his time, 1,000 years to us is a lot of time, but to him it's not, throughout eternity. But he worked so hard to disrupt God's program and God's people. He works at it hard, as he knows his end is coming. The question is, does the fire really torture him? Even though he's a spirit being, there's a lot of things we don't know about the spirit world. This fire and brimstone does torture him. We don't know exactly how. It's just like when the angel at the end of the tribulation period takes a chain. It says a chain. We don't know what that really consists of, but it's chaining a spirit in the abyss. How do you chain up a spirit? I really don't know. God's got a way. And he does it and he accomplishes. According to this right here, since people are going to rebel at the end of the millennial reign, there will still be a mode of salvation where they have to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Done away with, that doesn't end sin.
No, it doesn't end sin, because right here at the end of the millennial reign, you have sin rampant in people's hearts. Now let me say this, it won't be open, because God is not going to allow open rebellion. He will strike down anybody. You won't have a court system like you got today. You won't have people doing the things they're doing today and getting away with it. It's not going to happen, because He's ruling and reigning with His saints. You're going to replace the judges on the benches with Christians who gained and earned that position of power due to their works and their rewards. So this earth's going to be ruled by Christ and His group then. It's going to be different. But again, these people know this, and in their heart they have rebellion. They don't like the rulership. It's just like today in America. Let's take America, for instance. Here we have the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. What we've had. Look what's happening to America today. Out of all the wonderful blessings that we have got in this country, and if you travel to foreign countries, people beg to get into America. They used to. I don't know whether they're doing it now or not. But when I traveled internationally, people would just beg me, can you get me in America? Can you get me a job in your company? Anything to get over here. Because we had so many great blessings. But now look, we got people in this country right now who are deliberately and using everything that they can to tear down this country, destroy what we've got. Why? It doesn't make any sense, but they're doing it. Every day, read the news and see what's happening. You know, I mean, all the blessings we've got, but yet people again want to destroy what we have got. It's the same thing during the millennial reign. All over the world, again, Christ is going to have His rulership. He's going to have His people ruling and reigning in the world. They will see all of this. Zechariah talked in 14th chapter of Zechariah. He talks about all the people coming to Jerusalem to honor Christ and His rulership there. And he says if they don't, then they'll suffer for it. So it's going to be a worldwide issue at that time. Christians are going to be ruling and reigning all over the world. Christ from Jerusalem as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's going to be a wonderful time for those that love Him. It's going to be a terrible time for those that hate Him, because they're going to keep it quiet until Satan is turned loose. Blair? Put them back in the closet. Teddy, if they step out of that closet, they'll be put back in there. God's not going to allow any open rebellion. Okay, it's going to be a wonderful time for us. Anybody else? Yes. No, you'll have a resurrected body. Yeah, it says that you will be like Him. It's a resurrected body. It'll be a body of flesh and bones, just like He was when He was resurrected. You can touch and feel. We can eat. We're going to eat. But you're not powered by the blood. You're powered by the Spirit. Okay? That's immortality. If you cut off the blood to any part of your body, it dies. Put a rubber band around your little finger and see how long it lasts. Okay? The blood. In your spirit body, you put a rubber band around your finger and it won't do anything at all, because you're powered by the Spirit. The Bible says that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Now think about His body after the resurrection. He could go through walls. He could appear. He could disappear. He could eat. He had immortality. I look forward to that, because I can sneak up on Bonnie then. Will there be marriages? There'll be marriages of the earthly people. They're repopulating the earth. That's where all these huge amounts of people come from. So the earthly people that survive the tribulation period will be repopulating the earth as humans. Okay? In the spirit world, there's no marriage or giving in marriage. Okay, anybody else? Jerry? We're going to come back here with Him and rule and reign with Him. No. No, because he's going to have his earthly kingdom set up. Yeah. You'll have your immortal body. Okay? You will have your immortal body at the resurrection. And you'll be ruling and reigning over this earth according to your works. Well, it'll be an immortal body, again, powered by the Spirit. So I take this, any kind of infirmities that you got, whatever you've got will be done away with. You'll have a perfect body, again, powered by the Spirit, which doesn't die. That's immortality. Okay? Anybody else? These are good questions. That is the people that have rejected Christ, rejected God, His program. They are raised. That's what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, and that comes after the millennial reign. And the other scriptures there in Revelation tell you that's the Great White Throne Judgment. That's the judgment of all of those who have rejected Christ, and that's after the millennial reign. They stay in the grave until the 1,000-year reign is over. Anybody else? Any tears in heaven now? I don't really know, Joe. The Bible says, here's what I think when you go to heaven. It says the former things are not remembered anymore. God says He wipes away all the tears. How much does He allow us to see down here? We don't know. There's an indication that He lets us see some things that go on down here. How much, we just really don't know. It may be limited. The book of Hebrews tells us that. That's right. That's at the end of all of mankind's rebellion, rulership, and attempted overthrow of God. He wipes away all of that. And then you won't remember any of that anymore. Whatever sorrows you have right now, you won't even remember them anymore. It says the former things should be remembered no more. Okay? Here's what I do know. How much He lets us see. Again, the Hebrews says that, you know, that some of those are up there looking at this race that we're running and cheering us on through this life that we have right now. So at the end of that, you know, at the end of everything, here's what I do know. Everything will be perfect in the universe at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. There's a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah 66 tells you that. This earth's going to be done away with. It's going to be a whole new environment throughout the universe. Anybody else? These are good questions.
What a trip.
Yeah, what a trip. You know, when you think about it, the life that we live now is just so small compared to all of eternity. And I think about, I was there with James Thursday. I went over there twice. And he was in such torment and going through such agony. I mean, he would go into spells where it would take 3 or 4 of us to try to get him down, get him calmed down. And when you think about, we go through these type of things here, and all of you have been through some of that with your relatives, your loved ones. When you think about that's going to be done away with, and everything is going to be perfect and great. You know, it's like I tell my grandkids. Some of my grandkids get upset when I talk about death, but I'm around it so much. Here's the way I look at that when you leave this earth, and I have a saying that I tell them, don't deny me my next great adventure. I looked forward to seeing those things in heaven, being with Christ, watching His program unfold throughout the universe. I mean, it's fantastic. You get up in the morning, you got aches and pains and you hurt and you don't know the next day what's going to happen. I want to serve my time here, but I'm not asking for an extension. Okay? And I tell my grandkids, Macy's back there, she can tell you. I tell them, don't deny me my next great adventure. This is one small adventure. I'm looking for my big one. That's my retirement plan. Randall's got some good retirement plans, but I got one in heaven that's even greater. And it's going to last for eternity. This is the way I look at death. Okay? I've served my time, tried to do what God wanted me to do, the best of my ability. But there's something greater for me beyond this right here. All right? So if y'all ever have to attend my funeral, then just do one thing. Like I tell Bonnie, say, man, he's flying like he never flew before. Okay? It's a great adventure. Anybody else have any questions? These are good. People need to get these things out and get their minds settled because it helps you to live every day. So many people walk around every day wondering about this and wondering about that or fretting about this issue and what's going to happen. So that's the reason I like questions. Yes. Yes. Yes, there will be, on the new earth, there will be a human population. Yes.
Would they die, they get the spirit bodies that we would have?
Probably, yes, yes. Okay, we don't have all of the detailed answers, okay? But here's what I do know. God is perfect. Nothing He does has any kind of imperfection or shortcoming in it. So whatever it is, and all the details we'll find out when it's our time, it's going to be exactly right, and you'll be definitely pleased with it. Okay? Put it that way. That should answer all your questions in there. All right, anybody else? Okay. Let's start something else here. We probably won't get too far in it, but we can get a few minutes into it. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. The next subject that we're going to study, this goes along with the time frame that we have just studied about the Antichrist. But this goes along the same time frame, but this is the judgment of those that are left behind. Now, so many people brought up questions about that, and that's great. After the rapture occurs and the Christians leave this earth, What's going to happen to the people that are here? And this is a great question because some of us may have loved ones that have never accepted Christ. And you wonder, what's going to happen to them? I mean, you know, what's going on there? I wonder about these preachers and these teachers who teach that the church is going to go through the tribulation. That's a horrible teaching. It really is. So turn to the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. Look at verse 1 and 2. At that time, Michael, shall Michael stand up? Michael is the protector of Israel. He is one of the archangels mentioned in Scripture. Anytime you see Michael, it usually has to deal with Israel. He's Israel's great spiritual protector. I call him the war angel. Because anytime you see Michael involved, it involves some kind of conflict. At that time, at what time? At the time the tribulation starts. This is where we are right here now. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now what God is telling Daniel here, at the tribulation, during the tribulation period here, He said, Daniel, these are the Israelites. He's talking to Daniel about the Israelites. And He says, at that time, your people here shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. The Jews during the year have a ceremony and a ritual that they go through at one of the feasts. And in their prayer that they pray that, oh God, that my name be written in the book of life. They pray this at this festival. And this is what it's talking about. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, this is what God tells Daniel. Daniel, some of your people, some of them are going to be raised, and they're going to have a wonderful life, everlasting life, but there's going to be a group of them who are going to have everlasting shame because of their rejection of their Messiah. Now, Israel's back in their land today. They're back there in unbelief. You can't go out and publicly apostolize for Jesus Christ. If you do, they'll put you in jail. So Israel's got to go through a time of trial and tribulation to get them to the point that God wants them. Okay, any questions on that? Okay, staying in, turn to Matthew 24. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew 24. I'm not going to get into that today because I want to go through the whole chapter of Matthew 24. It's really talking about the tribulation period. It's what it's really talking about. Now, let me say this before we close here this morning. What really is the tribulation about? You can read commentaries and commentaries and commentaries. And I have only read one commentary, and I have many commentaries on the book of Daniel and on the book of Revelation. I've only seen one commentator ever make this statement. I'll show it to you here in our study about this. But the whole entire process of the tribulation period has really to do with the nation of Israel. That's the final focal point, is the nation of Israel. When we studied Daniel, I told you that. When we studied Revelation, I said, well, we're going to go back over it. Because so many people wonder, why do we have the tribulation? I mean, what is the reason for it? The reason for it is to bring Israel to the point of where God wants them to be. So many people in the world today and so many nations, the United Nations included, they don't think Israel is important. They just want to wipe them off the map. Get rid of them. They're a thorn in the flesh of the nations of the world. Well, God thinks they're so important that He's going to judge the whole earth because of them to bring them to their point in His program. Okay, we'll get to that in our study. But next week, if you want to, this week, read Matthew 24. Read all the way through verse 31. And if you have any questions, be prepared with them next Sunday. We'll get into that. This is the Lord speaking, and He tells us some great things about what's coming. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this study. We thank You for the wonderful words of the future truth that You're going to put upon mankind and this earth so that we can put our hope and trust in You and nothing else. Lord, we just thank You for letting us have the privilege of knowing these things when so many people in the world have no knowledge of this, and we have been so privileged. Pray for Clay Dean and her family today, Lord. The funeral service, comfort her. May it do justice to her, Lord, as to what she needs. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great